الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء وخاتم المرسلين سيدنا ونبينا بالقاسم محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين واللانة الدائمة الباقية لعدائهم من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. ما بعد، sisters and brothers in iman, السلام عليكم. This is the fourth session we are having on the issue of barzakh, the life after death. Inshallah, as usual, we have been giving out handouts for this. We haven't yet sent it out, but inshallah, all of those who are on the mailing list with Nanjiani, brother here, inshallah, we'll send it before next Wednesday for the four sessions. By looking at the discussion that we have, inshallah, we probably will need to go through one more gathering on this issue besides tonight's. And so let me summarize before we come to tonight's theme, that as far as the concept of barzakh is concerned, this is actually life after death. It's important to look at some of the words the way they are used in Islamic terminology. We use the word intiqal. In Arabic also we say intaqala. In Urdu also we say intiqal. The literal meaning of the word intiqal is transfer. And it's really a meaningful word. It means that death is not the end of the process. It is just moving from one life to another, from this dunya to barzakh. Eventually, inshallah, on the day of Qiyamah, everybody will be there in the akhirah. And so when we talk about barzakh, we are talking about life after death, before resurrection. We looked at various ayat of Quran. Some of them are well known to us, even in Surah Yasin, for example, where some of the ayat are relevant more to the barzakh than to the akhirah. Tonight also we'll look at one ayat in a different context. We also discussed about, what is this life of barzakh? It is actually a life where the soul goes into a mithali, symbolic, non-physical body. And when the resurrection happens, that soul will go back to the physical body, which will be resurrected on the day of Qiyamah by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in barzakh, people will have a mithali body. Last discussion we had was about the coming of the masumeen, especially the prophet and the penjatan, at the time of death as well as in the grave. We ended the discussion with four groups in barzakh. Number one, those who are known as mahza al-iman, mahza, using the words from hadith, those mu'mineen who are perfect in iman and their amal, and if there were any deficiency, they have gone through the kafara of it, with the difficulties of dunya or the sakarat and the difficult agony of death. The second is opposite of that, those who are kafir perfect, knowingly still they do not, accept anything. Then you have a third group known as mustaza'af, who are religiously weak in a sense that either they didn't have the message or they were, because of socio-political circumstances, they were not able to gain access to the message at all. And number four, of course, the mu'mineen who are sinful, whose sins were so much that it could not be erased by the difficulties of dunya or the agony of the death. If you remember, the first and the second will know the result of what will happen to them on the day of Qiyamah. They will know soon after death. But they cannot be sent to Jannat or Jahannam. So for them, the barzakh will become a preview of Jannat or Jahannam. The mustaza'af group will be left suspended. You know, they will not be in torment or in bliss. They will be in suspension. It is up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala how He is going to deal with them on the day of Qiyamah. The fourth group of the mu'mineen, whose sin were quite a lot, they could go either into the situation of mustaza'af, or they could be punished in barzakh, so that on the day of Qiyamah, those mu'mineen will be free from sins. And that is into it's upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make that judgment. Tonight's discussion, basically again, you know, going back to this issue of barzakh, we look at the issues about death and the what happens in the grave in the initial stages. There are hadiths where we are told, you know, and what I'm going to discuss now becomes more easy after we have gone through the discussion of mithali body, you know, non-physical symbolic bodies for the human beings. We have concept in our hadith where we talk about manifestation of deeds. Our a'mal, our deeds, good or bad, could manifest in a form in front of us at the time of death or in the grave. This is known as tajassum a'mal. Tajassum means the amal acquires a body. And this is something we see in the hadith quite a lot. If you look at this book I mentioned in the first session, the English title I'm forgetting of Ayu Quchani, where he's put the whole barzakh scene in a novel and story form. There you will see he's basically presenting the good amal and the bad amal in form of either fearful animals or, you know, handsome or beautiful people. But this is just his own way of simplifying things, but the basic concept is there in the ahadith that our a'mal in barzakh or at the time of death could have tajassum. It could manifest in a form that the deceased would be able to see them. And so this is what we are going to look at initially. The ahadith talk about 3 to 6 kinds of items. And so I've gone from the lower number first, where we have a hadith which talks about 3 things which will appear to a person at the time of death. Now, all those who are around that person who is dying, they wouldn't be able to see anything, just as they would not know when Malakul Maut has come, just as they would not know when Rasulullah or Amirul Mu'mineen has come to that dying person. Similarly, these manifestation of a'mal at the time of death will only be seen by the dying person and not by those who are around him or her. And so this is a hadith from the first one from Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wassalam, where he says, when the person would be fi akhir yawmi min ad-dunya wa awwal yawmin min al-akhirah, when he will be in the last day of his dunya and the first day towards the akhirah, mathala lahu, 3 things will manifest to him: maluhu wa waladuhu wa wulduhu wa amaluhu. The first would be maluhu, his wealth. And when he will look at his wealth, you know, he will say, wallahi inni kuntu alayka liharisan shahihan. I really always, you know, was longing for you and I desire for you, and so I accumulated you. Famali indaka. So what do you have for me now? The answer would be, khuz minni kafanak. The most that I can give you from myself as your mal of dunya is your kafan. What else you want to take? 3-piece suit, best of shoes that you are wearing? No, in our tradition of, you know, dafan, we don't use those things. So this is where the mal is saying, or at most it could say, okay, the payment of your, you know, grave, take it from me. You know, your kafan, take it from me. Then he will turn, وَوَلْدُهُ, and his family, his children. وَاللَّهِ إِنِّي كُنْتُ لَكُمْ مُحِبًّا وَإِنِّي كُنْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ مُحَامِيًا. He will say that, by Allah, I loved you so much. I protected you so much. فَمَاذَا لِي عِنْدَكُمْ, what do you have for me now? فَيَقُولُونَ نُوَدِّيكَ إِلَىٰ حُفْرَتِكَ وَنُوَارِيكَ فِيهَا. The most that we can do now for you is we'll take you, we'll not let your body rot, and people will, you know, close their nose and run away from it. We will dispose your body in a respectful manner. We'll take you to the grave and cover you. This is the most that we can do. And then a third manifestation will come to you. And that will be his amal, his good deeds. ثُمَّ يَلْطَفِطُ إِلَىٰ عَمَلِهِ فَيَقُولُ, and then he will say, وَاللَّهِ إِنِّي كُنْتُ فِيكَ لَزَاهِدًا, that I do not deny, by Allah, I was not very much, you know, into you. You know, I didn't really care much about you. إِنَّكَ كُنْتَ عَلَيَّ لَسَقِيلًا, you were a burden for me. فَمَاذَا عِنْدَكَ, whatever I had from the good deeds, now that you have come, what do you have for me? And that is where we'll get the answer. Where the amal will say, أَنَا قَرِينُكَ فِي قَبْرِكَ وَيَوْمَ حَشْرِكَ حَتَّى أُعْرِضُ عَنَا وَأَنْتَ عَلَىٰ رَبِّكَ, I will be your companion in the grave. You know, I will be with you till the day me and you are presented in the presence of your Lord. So the mal and wold will live, but it is a'mal, the good deeds which will stay with the person. And then it's a long hadith where Amir al-Mu'mineen says that if a person is the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, he will see that the a'mal comes in form of a very beautiful person, and the a'mal will come and give a good news to the person. أَبْشِرْ بِرُوحٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِيحَانٍ وَجِنَّةٍ نَعِيمٍ. You know, I've come with the good news for you, with the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then this person will say, but who are you? And he will respond, أَنَا عَمَلُكَ الصَّالِحِ إِرْتَهِلْ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. It's time for you now, leave this dunya and let's go towards the akhirah. And that is where we are told that a mu'min will, at that time, will not have any more desire to stay back in this dunya. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala include us among those. Then of course the opposite of that, Amir al-Mu'mineen talks about it, you know, how they will be dealt with and how the malaika will come and ask the questions, man rabbuka wa man nabiyuka wa ma dinuka, and the responses will be given on both sides, believer and non-believers. There is another hadith very similar to that, where, you know, these wordings are slightly different, but it is in the same theme, where Imam says that the good a'mal, when that will manifest, it will say to the dying person that your mal has left you, it didn't come with you. وَكَانَ أَهْلُكَ, and your family, they also left. They buried you, recited the surah, and they're gone. But I am the one who is still with you, and I'll stay with you. And although I was the lesser of the three in your views, but I will be the one who will be with you. And so this is a hadith where we see a couple of hadiths talking about three things. Then we have another hadith on the same theme, but it talks about four deeds manifesting in the grave. Now, we are not talking about at the time of death. We are talking about the death has happened, the person is already buried. This is a hadith that we have from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wa salam. What Imam says is دخل المؤمن قبره, when a mu'min enters the grave, كانت الصلاة عن يمينه, the prayers would be on his right side, والزكاة عن يساره, zakat, all religious wajib dues, would be on his left side, والبر مطل عليه, and the charity, which is not part of the wajib, and the help that he has given to others would be there covering him fully. But then there will be a fourth thing there, which will be a little bit removed from the three. وَيَتَنَحَّى الصَّبْر نَاحِيَة, but on one of the corners would be sabr, patience. And when the malaika come, the sabr will turn towards salat and zakat, and it will say, "Dunakuma sahibukum, fa in ajastum anhu, fa ana dunuhu." That take care of your fellow, but if you are not able to help him, then I will be there as a backup for you. And so, sabr here is considered to be the most powerful element which will help us in the grave. And probably this is the reason why we see in Surah Al-Asr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he talks about the pillars of success, he mentions Iman and Amal Saleh and Haqq, and then he singles out Sabr. And that is why many of the ahadith say that the relationship of Sabr and patience to Iman is the relationship of head to the body. If the body, a head is not there, the body would not be alive. So if sabr is not there, you know, the iman will die. There's another hadith on the same theme, almost in the same wordings, emphasizing all these four items. Then we go to another sets of hadith where five deeds have been mentioned in the grave. And this is interesting. There are two the one, and then we'll go on to the next one. And this is a hadith where the sixth imam again says, the mayyit, the dead person, would be asked five things in the grave. Number one, he will be asked about his salat. Number two, about his zakat. Number three, about his hajj. Number four, about his fasting. And number five, about his wilayat of Ahlul Bayt. فَتَقُولُ الْوِلَايَ أَنْ جَانِبِ الْقَبْرِ لِلْعَرْبَعِ. These four things which will be asked, and then they will manifest tajassum. You know, it will appear to the person. And when all these five manifest, then the wilaya go on the side, and it will say to the four fellows, the salat and zakat and hajj and sawm, it will say, مَا دَخَلَ فِي كُنَّ مِنْ Naqsin or Nuqsin fa'alayya tamamu. That you four take care of your fellow, but if there is any deficiency or loss, I will come and complete it. So the vilayat is there as the baqa for the mu'mineen. On the same theme, there is the narrations which talk about six deeds. Now, we see the difference from, you know, three to four and five and six. You know, sometimes an imam would like to maybe just summarize things or just highlight certain items. But if you put it all together, you know, you get this total number, which is number six items. So those do not, they are not contradictions. One is looking at a shorter version of the statement, another is, you know, more elaboration. But the maximum that I could see was six deeds which will manifest. And again, this is a hadith from the fifth or the sixth Imam from Abu Basir. Sometimes we have this problem. Abu Basir was a Sahabi of fifth Imam and sixth Imam also. And sometimes they just say Qala alayhi salam. They don't say the name. So it could either be the fifth Imam or the sixth Imam. Where he says, إِذَا مَاتَ الْعَبْدُ الْمُؤْمِنُ دَخَلَ مَعْهُ فِي قَبْرِهِ سِتَّةَ صُوَرٍ. When a mu'min dies, six images, suwar, you know, manifestation, that's a simpler way of putting it, will appear in his grave. فِيهِنَّ سُورَةٌ أَحْسَنُهُنَّ وَجْهًا وَأَبْهَاهُنَّ حَيْئَةً وَأَطْيَبُهُنَّ رِيحًا وَأَنْزَفُهُنَّ سُورَةً. Out of the six, there will be one which will be the best in the appearance, in the grace of the face, and in the fragrance, and in cleanliness. قَالَ فَيَقِفُ سُورَةٌ عَنْ يَمِينِهِ. And when they manifest, you know, one of these manifestations of good deeds will come to the right side of the dead person, one to the left, one to the front, one to the back, and one will stand by the feet. وَتَقِفُ الَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُهُنَّ فَوْقَ رَعَسِهِ. The one who is the manifestation which is the most beautiful will be there at the head side of the mayyit. And it will talk to other five. And it will ask, Man antum jazakumullahu anni khayra. Who are you? What do you represent here for the mayyit? Fayaqulu allati an yamil al-abd. The one who is on the right side will say, Ana salat. I am the prayers that this person had done. The one who is on the left will say, I am the zakat that he has paid. The one which is on the front will say, I am the siyam and the fasting that I have done. The one which is at the back will be saying, I am the hajj and the umrah that he has done. And the one which is at the feet will say, I am the birr and the charity and the help that he has given to others. And so then all five of them will turn and say, what about you? Mananta. فَعَنْتَ أَحْسَنُنَا وَعْجْهًا وَأَطْيَبُنَا رِيحًا. You know, you are the most handsome of us. You have the best of the fragrance. And you are the most graceful. فَتَقُولُ أَنَا الْوِلَايَ لِآلِ مُحَمَّدْ صَلَوَاتُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. And that sixth would be the wilayat of the Ahlul Bayt. And this is where we see that, you know, when we talk about the amal, a point, of course, it is an issue of discussion by itself. But just to summarize, I would say that one of the conditions for the acceptance of the amal is the wilayat of Ali Muhammad. And that is the reason why, even if you look at salat, the issue of salawat, which has been included in tashahud, and which is accepted by all Muslims, from the Shias on one side to the Wahhabis on the other side, is because the hub of Ali Muhammad cannot be denied by anyone who says La ilaha illallah and Muhammadun Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this was the first theme about the things, the way the amal will manifest and present themselves at the time of death or at the in the grave before or during the time of the questioning. And that is where I come to the second theme about barzakh, and that is about the questioning in the grave. Again, the issue of questioning depends on the category. Those who are on the perfect mu'min category or perfect kafir, they are the one who are going to be questioned, not others, because that questioning will then conclude the judgment for them, and they will know what will happen to them on the day of Qiyamah also. But it is one of these issues which are so important that one of the hadith that we have from our sixth imam, he says, "Man ankara salasa ashiya falisa min shi'atina." Whoever rejects three concepts, he is not from our Shias. Number one, al-mi'raj, the belief that the Prophet went for mi'raj. Number two, wal-mas'ala fil qabr, the questioning in the grave by Munkar and Nakir. And number three, wal-shafa'a. Anyone who has doubts about these three issues or doesn't believe in these three issues cannot be considered as a Shia from the perspective of the sixth imam. And so this is one of the, you know, important issues. Interestingly, there is an ayat about it. And therefore, this issue of questioning in the grave is unanimous among all Muslims, Shia and Sunnis alike. There is an ayat in Surah Ibrahim where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. This is about maintaining our iman and our belief. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allah confirms, yuthabbit, sabit rakhna ya sabit karna. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala maintains or confirms those who are the believers, bil qawli thabit, with a sure word, or a, you know, firm aqeedah, if I paraphrase it, in this world's life and in the hereafter. Now, when we look at this dunya, of course, it is there. But when it says, وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ, according to the Sunni and Shia tafasir, majority of them say that فِي الْآخِرَةِ here refers to فِي الْقَبْرِ. And when فِي الْقَبْرِ, when the malaika will come and ask them the questions, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will be there to confirm your aqeedah for you. I will help you. My tawfiq will be with you even at the time when the malaika come and ask you the questions. You know, if you pay attention to the talqeen, one of the last passage that we have in talqeen where we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower his rahmah on the deceased who is being buried, we also say, oh Allah, guide him ila sirati mustaqim. He's already dead. What is this issue of Sirat al-Mustaqim? Well, there is an issue of, you know, what is going to happen in the grave. The questioning would be there. Of course, Qiyamah, everything has ended now. But in grave, it's still the question is going to come up. And there also we are praying for the deceased that may Allah help him. And even in the questioning, he is on the right path. And this is what we see, you know, explained in this ayat. وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ, the tafsir of the Shias and Sunnis both says, it refers to وَفِي الْقَبْرِ. So again, this is one ayat where it shows that the word akhirah is not always referring to the akhirah in the sense of the life in hereafter, after the day of Qiyamah. It also refers to the time of barzakh, from death to the day of resurrection. Now, what will be asked? If we look at the wordings in the talqeen, all these questions are there. Man rabbuka, ma dinuka, man nabiyuk, man ma kitabuk, you know, the issue of qibla, the man imamuk, wa waliyuk. All these questions are there where Munkin and Nakir is going to ask us. The hadiths are quite lengthy on this issue, and I'll just, talk about one. When we talk about the imams, this is for those who sometimes say that, well, you know, we just have to emphasize on the issue of Amir al-Mu'mineen, and that's it. We do realize that the questioning will be about the a'imma. And we have to give the name of all 12 of them. Even if we miss one there, the last one, even if we have believed in Ali, it's not going to help. And let me give you an example from the days of the Imam, and this is what I've been trying in these discussions, not even go to the stories of the, you know, Muqaddiseen and the Zuhad and the Arafa, you know, concentrate on the stories which happened during the days of the Imams themselves, even the issue of Amir al-Mu'mineen being seen by the Mu'mineen and the Munafiqeen during the days of the Imams. We discussed in the last session. There's a very interesting story about a person by the name of Ali bin Abi Hamza Thumali. The father, Abu Hamza Thumali, is a very prominent Sahabi of the fourth and the fifth Imam. If you look at Risalat al-Huquq of Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, the narrator of that is Abu Hamza Thumali. There is also a famous dua we have in Mafati by the name of, you know, the dua of Abu Hamza Thumali. He was a very prominent Shia of his time, highly respected by our fourth and fifth Imam. He had a son by the name of Ali bin Abi Hamza. And there was a problem with him. He was okay till the seventh Imam. But when the eighth Imam became the Imam, there was a group of the wakala of the seventh Imam who turned against eighth Imam because of the money they had accumulated as wakils. And this is where the system of waqifiyya started, where they said, well, you know, the imamat waqafa stopped with the seventh imam. He is the Mahdi. He is the one who is going to appear at the end of time. And one of them was Ali bin Abi Hamza al-Thumali. When he died during the days of the eighth imam, there are two interesting narrations where the seventh imam says, when he was told about the death of Ali bin Abi Hamza al-Thumali, in one narration he says, "Innahu uqida fi qabrihi." He was met to sit up at the time of questioning by the malaika in his grave. Fasu'ila anil a'imma alayhi salam. He was asked part of the questions. They reached the point, "Who are your imams?" Fa'akbara bi'asma'ihim. He mentioned the names, Ali, and then Hassan, and then Hussein, then Ali Zain al-Abidin, then Muhammad Baqir, Ja'far al-Sadiq, hatta intaha ilayya. And Musa al-Kazim, Imam says, until he reached to, you know, me. Fasu'ila. When he stopped, he was asked, who is the next? Fawaqafa. He stopped. He didn't mention the name of the eighth Imam. فَضُرِبَ عَلَى رَأْسِهِ ضَرْبَةً امْتَلَعَ قَبْرَهُ نَارًا. The malaika basically took their, you know, whatever weapon they had come with, hit on his head, and the whole grave turned into fire for him. Another narration from the same Imam, slightly different words. وَعَمَّ إِنَّهُ سُئِلَ عَنِ الْإِمَامِ بَعْدَ مُوسَى أَبِي. When he was asked about the Imam after my father Musa, قال Ali ibn Abi Hamza al-Somali said, لا عارف إماما بعده. I don't know any Imam after him. فقيل لا. And he was again asked by the Malaika, there is no Imam after Musa? He said, you know, no. And this is where again the narration comes in the same words, that they hit him on his head, and the grave turned into a fire for him in Barzakh. And so this is something we have to keep in mind, that, you know, when we look at the talqeen, you know, sometimes we might consider it to be, well, what is the need of it? But these are the haqaiq and the realities of our aqidah, the fundamentals of our faith, and these are the questions which are going to be asked in Barzakh. And this brings me to this question, you know, how will the dead people hear? Or even when we talk about talqeen, you know, we use the words isma', ifham, listen and understand. Well, you know, people say, you know, he's dead, what are you talking to him? And this is where we have to realize, remember we talked about the ruh and the body, the soul and the body. The essence of a human being is not this physical body, it is the soul. When the soul is taken, the ears would still be exactly the way it was, you know, a minute before death. There's no, you know, problem with the mechanism on a physical level. But the soul is gone. And when we are talking to the mayyit, we are not talking to the body, we are talking to the soul. And at that time, there is still, the soul is still close to the body. Not within it, because it's dead already. The body is dead. And so the address is isma ifham to the person, or isma'i ifhami to that individual there. And once the soul is separated from the body, the limitations which are there on us are gone. You know, we are born in an environment. That's where we end up learning our mother tongue. I was born in an Urdu family, I would be speaking Urdu. If I was born in an English-speaking, you know, family, I would be speaking English. That would be the language that I know. And the environment is the one which makes that decision and the limitation. Or if you take a British couple who know nothing but English, and they adopt a Chinese baby from day one of the birth, although the child is a Chinese, but he will grow up learning English, wouldn't know Chinese at all. And because it's the environment where the child is raised. But potential is there, and that's where when we grow up, we are able to learn other languages which are not our mother tongue. And so the potential is there in me as a person, irrespective of the body, to learn other languages. Now when this ruh separates from the body, that limitation of the environment and the society is gone. And when the ruh becomes free, it will learn, it will know the language of Akhirah, which is the language of Quran. So don't worry if you're having difficulty in learning Arabic now. You know, there you will automatically know. You know, you don't have to worry about it. And so when you hear the words Isma'ifham, you will understand what it means. When in Talqeen it's said in Arabic that when the Malaika come to you and, you know, they will ask you, Man Rabbuka, وَمَنْ نَبِيُّكَ وَمَنْ إِمَامُكَ وَمَا كِتَابُكَ وَمَا قِبْلَتُكَ, you know, these are the answers you will give. The ruh will be able to understand and it will have the ability to respond in that language of the Akhirah, which is the language of the Quran. Now, the ability of hearing. There's a very interesting example we have from the life of the Prophet. In the Battle of Badr, you see, there were some of these leaders of Mushrikeen in Mecca, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had told the Prophet, just warn them that by rejecting the message, I'm going to punish them soon. And that was not about the punishment of the Akhirah. It was actually punishment in this dunya. And these leaders were actually among those who were killed in the first battle known as the Battle of Badr. And when their body were put in the well of Badr, the day the Prophet was leaving the grounds of the Battle of Badr, he stopped by the well. And he actually addressed them. And this is interesting statement in Shia and Sunni sources both. There is no dispute about this narration. Even in Sahih Muslim and Sahih Bukhari and even Tafsir of Ibn Kathir and other sources, this is seen where the Prophet addressed individuals where he says, Ya Aba Jahl bin Hisham, Ya Utba bin Rabi'a, Ya Shayba bin Rabi'a, Ya Fala bin Fala, Hal wajadtum ma wa'ada rabbukum haqqa? That also and so he's addressing them. That did you find, you know, what your Lord had promised you to be true? For sure, فَقَدْ وَجَدْتُمَا وَعَدَنِي رَبِّ حَقَّ. Because truly what the Lord had promised me, I see it becoming true. And before that, he says, you know, you were not a good neighbor to me. I was in your city. I was a member of your tribe. But you were rude to me until you forced me to leave my house and abandon my city. And then you gathered even to conspire to fight against me. Now, when Rasulullah said that, one of the companions, you know, the famous one, Umar ibn Khattab says, Ya Rasulullah, ma khitabuka lihamin qad sadayat. You know, oh, the Prophet, how can you talk to those whose soul is already gone? You know, it doesn't make sense. You're talking to the dead people. And that is where the Prophet responds by saying, Mahya ibn al-Khattab. You know, no, O son of al-Khattab, فَوَاللَّهِ مَا أَنْتَ بِأَسْمَعَ مِنُهُمْ. By Allah, you are not more capable of hearing than them. They are hearing better than you. And between them and the angels who will seize them with the iron, you know, chains, the only barrier between them and those angels is me. I'm standing because of my respect. They have not yet moved forward. As soon as I turn away, they will take them with the chains of iron. And so this is a very clear statement that, yes, the way Rasulullah talked to the mushrikeen, if they can hear after death, for us to talk to our mu'mineen and mu'minat, in talqeen should not be a bid'ah or something out of the blue. No, this is part of the tradition of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another example of a similar kind is when Amir al-Mu'mineen talked with a couple of them actually, after the battle of Jamal in Basra. One of the fighters on the other side was Ka'b bin Surah. He was the Qazi and the judge of the city, appointed from the days of the second Khalifa and then the third Khalifa. And he was so much against Ali, and as the judge of the city, you know, he had his own prestige and influence, and he used it to excite people against Ali. And he came with the Quran hanging on his neck, with his family members, you know, with the group who were opposing Amir al-Mu'mineen. And he was one of those who was killed in that battle. At the end, when everything settled down, Amir al-Mu'mineen was surveying the battlefield. فَوَقَعَ عَلَيْهِ Amir al-Mu'mineen. When Imam saw him, you know, he told the people, أَجْلِسُ كَعَبْ بِنْ سُورَةً. You know, Imam told them, make him sit. He's already dead, but make him sit. So they made him sit. And then Imam addressed him, Ya Ka'b bin Surah, قَدْ وَجَدْتُمَا وَعَدَنِي رَبِّ حَقَّ. That, O Ka'b, I found what my Lord had promised to me to be the truth. فَهَلْ وَجَدْتَمَا وَعَدَكَ رَبُّكَ حَقَّ. Have you found the same thing as I found it? And then Imam said, now let him, you know, lie on the ground again. And then he moved on to Talha bin Abdullah. And he did the same thing. And he asked the same question to these two bodies. Interestingly, even in Jamal, when Ali talked to these two dead individuals, somebody stood up. And they said to Ali, مَا كَلَامُكَ لِقَتِيلَيْنْ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ مِنْكَ. You know, why are you talking to these dead people? You know, they don't listen. And Amir al-Mu'mineen responded exactly by saying, يَا رَجُلْ فَوَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ سَمِعَ كَلَامِي كَمَا سَمِعَ أَحْلَ الْقَلِيبِ كَلَامَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. You know, these two individuals have heard my words just as the people in the whale of Badr heard the words of Rasulullah. The way Rasulullah talked to them and they heard it, I talked to these two individuals and they have definitely heard what I'm saying to them. And this is the negative side of, you know, talking to those who are dead. But let us look at the positive side also from the example of Rasulullah. I'm sure you know this story, you must have heard it many times, about the funeral of Bibi Fatima bint Asad, the mother of Amir al-Mu'mineen. The two narrations, I'll just, you know, summarize it very briefly. Let me just combine it. I'll go with the longer one. Number one, when Amir al-Mu'mineen came to Ali, Rasulullah, and he was crying. And Rasulullah says, "Ma yabkika, la abka Allahu aynak." Oh Ali, why are you crying? May Allah will never bring tears to your eyes. And that is where Ali says, "Tawaffat walidati," my mother has passed away, ya Rasulullah. Rasulullah says, "Bal walidati ya Ali." Ali, it's not your mother, it's my mother. She was a mother to me at a time when she would keep her own children hungry and make sure that I'm fed. She was the one who actually used to take care of me more than her own children, to the extent that sometimes if the debts were few, she would keep them and ask her children to go and play outside so that she can feed those to me. And so then, you know, she says, the Prophet said, go and prepare the janazah, and once you are ready, call me. But before that, he says, "Hadha qamisi," take my thawb, my shirt, and my rida, my aba, and use that as a kafan for her. And once the janazah was ready, you know, Rasulullah was there following the janazah, but he was being very careful in, you know, putting his feet on the ground, as if, you know, he was being careful not to step on somebody else's feet. And he was barefooted at that time. And when the janazah was done, namaz janazah, Rasulullah repeated the namaz so many times, just like the janazah of Hazrat Hamza in Uhud. He repeated the namaz janazah so many times, about 15 times, that the total number of takbirat recited became 70. And then when they reached to the grave, Rasulullah himself first goes inside, lies down. And then, you know, he is the one who helped in putting the body in the lahad, in the grave, covered it with his own hands. And then basically he talked to her before leaving the grave. And according to Rasul, she responded to me. And what she says there, I'll come to the words later on, the wordings. And then he came out, and after the burial, when the people were going away, again he talked to Fatima bint Asad after the burial. And so when this happened, you know, some of the companions actually, قالوا يا رسول الله فعلت فعلا ما رأيناك مثله قط. That ya Rasulullah, we saw something which you have never done before, very unusual. مشيك حافي القدم, walking barefooted, 70 takbirat, you know, and then lying down in the grave, and giving your qamis as a kafan for her. And your statement to her before you left the grave, ibniki, ibniki, la ja'far wa la aqil. What was there? Where you were saying to her, your son, not Ja'far, not aqil, your son. And so Rasulullah then explains. He says, amma ta'anni fi wadha aqdami, the way I was being careful in putting my feet wherever I was stepping, because in the janazah that you could not see, there was a big assembly of malaika. Because of that crowd, I could see them, and I was being careful in the way I was walking. وعمن تكبيري. The reason why I did the takbir so many times, repeated the namaz again and again, was because there were 70 lines of malaika, one after another coming for the namaz, so I was repeating for them. And the reason why I, you know, laid down in the lahad, in the grave, because once I mentioned to my aunt about what is known as the squeeze of the grave, and when she heard about it, she's, you know, became very distressful. That how will I be able to bear that? And therefore, I lie down in that grave so that the grave will not do what is known as fishari qabr, or the squeezing of the of the grave. As far as the kafan that I gave from my own shirt and clothing, because when I mentioned to her that on the day of Qiyamah, people will be raised naked the way they are. And again, she felt very, in a way, you know, embarrassed and ashamed that how will that happen to me? And that is where I put the kafan from my own clothes, and that will be her covering on the day of Qiyamah. In my words to her, Ibniki, Ibniki, La Ja'far, Wala Aqil, that is because when the Malaika came, and this is after the grave has been closed, and when they asked her about her Lord, she says, Allahu Rabbi. And when they asked her about Man Nabiyiki, she said, Muhammad Nabiyi. And when they asked her, Man Waliyiki wa Imamiki, Istahayyat. And taqul. The question was about her own son. She felt, you know, should I name my son? You know, I am the mother here. So the haya stopped her for saying, and therefore I was telling her, quli, say to them, ibniki, ibniki, la aqil wa la ja'far, your son, not aqil or ja'far, ibnika Ali. And that basically, you know, boosted her strength at that time in that response. So this is the positive side of where the Rasul is talking with a person who is dead, but not like the people in Badr. Rather, we are talking about Bibi Fatima bint Asa salawatullah alayha. Let me just conclude. We just have about 7 or 8 minutes before namaz, but one more issue before, so that the last session would be, inshallah, the final one as far as barzakh is concerned. Do the souls of the mu'mineen visit their families? Their hadiths are there, many, many, that yes, they do that. But it depends on their status, and their level of iman, and the number of the good deeds that they have done. And by looking at various narrations, you know, we can see that the frequency could be daily, could be every other day, could be every third day. But the most common statement in a hadith of the Ma'asumin that we see is for weekly basis on Fridays, at the Zawal time. There are hadiths also where some individuals, based on their own level, only monthly visit or just yearly. And so the emphasis that I see on the Friday visit of the Arwah, you know, always remember them, if nothing, then at least with Surah Fatiha and 3 times Qul Huwallah. Because they come hoping to get a gift from the family members who are left behind. And many times they go back disappointed. And so this is something we have to keep in mind, that they are there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them the opportunity to see the good in the family and veils the misdeeds from them, so that the mu'mineen, their arwah, did not go through the state of distress, because that's one ni'mat for them in the barzakh. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, give us the tawfiq to be among those who will have nur and bliss and the ni'mat, inshallah, during the time of barzakh, bihaqq Muhammadin wa alihi tahiri. We have about 5 minutes. We can maybe take a few questions. Yes? Yeah, the question is about fishari qabr, the squeezing of the grave, whether this is for everyone or not, or are there places in the world where if you're buried there, you are exempted from it? Inshallah, in the last session that we have, we are talking about that issue, but focusing on the causes of the azab in barzakh and the causes for bliss in barzakh. And one of the issue would be the timing of the death, the place of the burial. Like, for example, Wadi al-Salam is one of the places where, you know, the issue of squeezing of the grave would not happen because of the proximity of that place to the marqad of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib. Yes. The first question was that the a'mal which will manifest there, one of the examples after salat was zakat. And the question is, in our Shia fiqh, we don't practice it that much. Well, it's a topic by itself, but let me just briefly respond to that by saying that the term zakat there refers to all religious wajib dues, including khums and anything. So it's not just technical zakat which is there in Furu'd-Din. The fiqhi discussion about it, why in Shia fiqh is restricted to certain items and not to current money, you know, inshallah some other time. I can even send you a write-up on this issue, inshallah. The second question about in talqeen, why do we shake the person? It's actually a symbolic way of saying isma'i fham. When we utter the words, or so and so, that is where we are just kind of reminding him. Although it's not really a reminder to the body, it's more to the soul. But it is a symbolic way of, you know, just not only saying isma'i fham, listen and, you know, understand, but even physically saying, you know, listen to what I'm reminding you. Any question from the ladies? Yes. The mu'min's body, whether it is transferred to Wadi al-Salam, well, the soul, yes. The arwah of the mu'minin and mu'minat go to Wadi al-Salam. But the body, it is not necessary. Yeah.
ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.
Somebody had asked for the quiz of last session. We have some copies here.